Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. She is joined by producer Mike Clark. This dynamic, sometimes crazy, sometimes funny, and always entertaining duo will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome, everybody. Today, we're going to do one of Professor Mike's favorite kind of shows. We're going to have it in the news.
Absolutely. We haven't done one of these for a long time either.
I know. You asked me to do one.
Every time I ask you to do one.
I know, because they're so fun. They're so fun.
They are.
And, you know, the first thing I'm going to talk about is I found this really, really interesting article in the Boston Globe, and it was by Deborah Kotz. She's a Globe staff writer. It was July 21st, so it was just this month. And she talked about how there's a growing knowledge that some kids will have problems with iPads with allergies. Nickel allergies. Yeah. So the aluminum casing on iPads, which can also be on cell phones and razors and wind-up toys and video game controllers, and then, of course, actual nickel coins, can create some type of skin rash in children. And Apple, the company, said that it is extremely rare, or at least the reporting of it is extremely rare, but there's been recent research that shows that about 5 to 10% of kids have skin allergies to nickel.
See, we have no idea what all these technology devices are going to do to us. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We won't know for quite a few years.
So say your 4-year-old is sitting with the aluminum case on their lap, and all of a sudden there's a rash on their legs and it gets itchy and it's allergic. So one thing that we can all do, especially if your children are using your iPads or different devices and there's a known family history, or just to be careful, is, you know, put it in some type of case, a smart case or something that really gives
buy them a ball instead.
I just think we should all start scaring our kids and telling them if they use their devices too much, they're going to break out with hives.
There you go.
You could tell the teenagers that's the reason they have acne. That would work.
I think they would rather have the acne than put the device down. I don't know.
Well, on that note, later in the show, we may have some time to talk about addiction technology.
Yes.
And these new centers that are popping up for kids to get off of their addiction to video games.
Have you guys seen my phone? I need to play my Angry Birds.
Well, if you're going to eat that bag of M&Ms while you play your Angry Birds, you might develop even more problems. Because according to Mercola.com, he talks about how sugar harms your brain health and drives an Alzheimer epidemic.
Are you guys sugar queens?
No.
No.
I can't remember.
My wife is. She has the worst sweet tooth.
I just can't remember.
I think Emily has like a tablespoon of honey every week, and that's about it. Well, a severe form of dementia, which is what Emily's demonstrating, is known as Alzheimer's. And actually, there's like 5.2 million Americans in our country with Alzheimer's. So
not fun.
And that was recent statistics. And it's even been said that it's now the third leading cause of death in the U.S. Isn't that crazy? Right behind heart disease and cancer. Wow. Yeah, 1 in 9 seniors.
So they're linking it to sugar?
1 in 9 seniors over age 65. Yes, that's one of the things they're linking it to. Diet in general. But what they're finding out is it's a similar pathway that causes type 2 diabetes. They're actually dubbing it type 3 diabetes ever since 2005, because they discovered that in addition to your pancreas, your brain also produces insulin. And this brain insulin is necessary for the survival of brain cells. And the Alzheimer's prevents your body from properly doing that. And yeah, the recommendation in the article is that your brain does not require glucose. Actually, it functions better with alternative fuels. We always felt we needed some sugar for brain function.
Right.
Actually, the brain works better from ketones, which is what your body makes when it digests healthy fats.
Right. I was going to say fats.
So there's more and more, you know, the seniors of today were middle age during this whole, you have to stay away from fat.
So I should start putting olive oil in my coffee instead of sugar, is what you're saying.
Well, you know,
why don't you try that, Emily? See how you like that.
There is a movement to put coconut oil in coffee.
Oh yeah. It's called Bulletproof Your Coffee.
Yep. Yep. So
are you serious?
Yeah. So there's been this research at the Mayo Clinic. This Dr. David Perlmutter talks about diets that are really rich in carbohydrates gives you an 89% increased risk for dementia.
Wow.
Versus high fat diets, it reduces your risk by 44%.
I guess that explains maybe why we get a little foggy after we eat a lot of carbohydrates. I don't know if anyone else does, but when I eat a whole loaf of bread, I just feel.
Yeah, that's what you do regularly, eat a whole loaf of bread.
I can tell.
That's really funny. Gluten in general, it just shows that the blood-brain barrier, so that it's a barrier that keeps things out of your brain where they don't belong, is negatively affected by gluten. So gluten also makes your gut more permeable. So both your gut and your brain, it allows proteins to go into the bloodstream where they don't belong. And that sensitizes your immune system, and it promotes inflammation and autoimmunity, which both play a role in the development of Alzheimer's.
Do you have any good news in the news today?
I do.
Oh, good.
I do. Actually, let's go right to it, because I think you'll like this, Mike.
Oh, good.
Darn, I was really looking for an excuse to say a moment on the lips, forever on the hips.
There, you said it. Okay, you got it in there.
Well, people might also say that about sitting too much. So Mike's job, he sits at this controller all the time.
10 hours a day sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, Mike, you're looking a little...
Am I looking a little...
Swat.
Yeah, am I? My butt's widening a little bit, you think, from sitting too much?
Oh, these poor listeners have such the wrong impression of Mike, although they probably all know he's bald by this point.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
But no, Mike is quite lean. So the Boston Globe children here, they're asking the question, is sitting the new smoking? And what's really interesting, and they concluded, no, it is not, because you can really handle sitting a lot as long as you're exercising.
Really?
Yeah. So what they did was they took like 1,300 men who reported that they sit for a long time, at least 22 hours a week. And they found that the ones who state that they don't exercise were more likely to have increased blood pressure and cholesterol levels compared to those who say they exercise regularly. And what happened was people who were deemed physically fit, and they actually had to do a performance on a treadmill test. This was all printed in the journal for the Mayo Clinic proceedings. As long as people were exercising regularly, the effects of sitting did not stay in the body.
Well, that's good, because I exercise all the time. So, and actually my blood pressure is really low. I just had it checked. So
I used to look up the effects of sitting all the time because I had a sit-down job, and I found that people actually can stay really healthy with sit-down jobs as long as they're keeping up with their workouts.
As long as they're moving.
Well, your body is folded in half, though. You know what I mean? It can't be that great for you. You know, just
it's not, but you
time.
Can, yeah, you can counteract it with movement.
Right.
That's the key.
Well, that's good to know.
That is good.
Because I've
to
heard
know.
A lot of negative things about sitting a lot.
And I would recommend, as a chiropractor, the best way to prevent repetitive strain injuries, which can happen from too much sitting, is frequent breaks.
Right, get
so
up and stretch.
Every 20, 30 minutes, even just walk to a different part of the office, or put, say, the copier way at the other end of the room or the office where you print something, you have to get up and walk over to get it.
My problem with that is, as soon as I stand up, my clients give me stink eye. You
know,
because they pay by the hour. Yeah, get back to work. You get
couldn't
back to that mixing console.
Couldn't you have a standing console?
You could. They do make them, but I'd have to modify the whole room, obviously.
Why don't you just hang a pull-up bar there?
just pull up.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
I like having a standing workstation.
Well, here's, in my opinion, where it would really go downhill. You're sitting all the time at a desk. You're not exercising, and you're on your smartphone or device for hours on end.
And that's, eating too much sugar, everything we covered today.
And we're going to talk more about the internet addiction when we come back from break.
All right.
You're listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the Southern New Hampshire area, you can schedule a health consultation and examination with Dr. Jenny. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, go to www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 673-5600. To find a chiropractor in your area, go to www.chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now back to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.
So I was just, you know, blindly perusing the internet as we tend to do at 11 o'clock at night with nothing to...
That's what I do.
Yep. With a bag of M&Ms.
That's right.
Yep. And I came across Medical News Today. They published an article recently that talks about how, not in our country at this time that I know of, but in many other countries, especially in the Asian Pacific culture, you're seeing more and more technology addiction clinics.
Oh, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone's looking at their phones like constantly.
Have you seen mine? I still haven't played my Angry Birds.
No, I'm taking it away from you.
And the most recent one was in India. That's the latest country because there's, you know, it's a concern nation and they're depicting it as a war on an addiction that has their youth in its grip. So it says in Bangalore, which is India's Silicon capital, the country's premier mental health hospital has opened its first technology de-addiction clinic. Wow.
So I wonder if it's full of like flowers, trees, rivers.
Books. Well, books. And it joins South Korea, China, Taiwan, and Singapore. And there are these dedicated technology addiction clinics. And, you know, doctors at this clinic in Bangalore, at least, it's run by the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences. And they told the local paper, the Indian Express, that typically the patients being referred are children whose parents are concerned either by a sharp academic decline or their children withdrawing from family interactions.
Yeah.
You know, and that's certainly happening.
Do they blame the West for this? Or
say that, but it does say that parents lament that their son or daughter is spending far too much time on the smartphone or posting numerous photos on Facebook or complaining of anxiety, loneliness, and boredom when denied use of the device.
Well, what else is there to do?
And taking selfies. Right. What is, because you're bored if you stop doing it.
That's right.
So here's an interesting thing. We'll close this little discussion with is that one of the doctors, Dr. Mark Griffiths, who did a study, he's a British psychologist. This is how they determined if a child should be in the clinic. They asked the children how often they experienced the following. I have gone without eating or sleeping because of the internet.
Check.
I have felt bothered when I cannot be on the internet.
Check.
I have caught myself surfing when I am not really interested.
Oh, darn it. This is not looking good for me.
I have spent less time than I should with either family, friends, or doing schoolwork because of the time I spent on the internet.
Do you have an application for one of these clinics?
Yep. And I have tried unsuccessfully to spend less time on the internet.
Well, you know what's happening, though, you know? And I even think we're aware of it in this country. Did anyone see that ad that it was running around Christmas time? It showed a teenager, like, it was like a family reunion thing, and he was always on his phone. And it's actually a fantastic ad. It's an Apple ad. You know, so, you know, they're trying to get him included in what's going on in the family stuff. And at the end of the commercial, he plugs in his phone into the TV, and the whole time he worked on this wonderful, like, family film. So it put a positive spin on him using his phone. It was a fantastic ad.
See, technology can be used for good and not evil, kids.
So they are aware of it, you know, because during the commercial, he was always like sitting by himself, you know, over in the corner, like just looking, but he was filming, you know. So
interesting.
We're aware of it. No
doubt. I remember back, this was probably in the early 90s. I remember coming back from college and being so excited to see my family. And it was Thanksgiving. And I remember we were all sitting around talking and it was so fun. And then somebody decided to turn on the TV because a game was on. It was probably a football game. And I remember, I'm not really into football. And I remember all of a sudden feeling really disappointed because everyone went from sitting around the room talking to literally everyone was quiet, zoning out, watching the TV. And I remember thinking, this darn TV now, like no one will talk to me.
Yep.
To me, that's one of the worst things, the TV.
Well, it's funny, you know, not last Christmas before, like all our relatives, you know, my daughter and everyone converged on this area for Christmas and no one would stay at our house. Everyone stayed
because you don't have a TV.
We don't have a TV. They did not want to stay with us.
It's okay.
Our house.
You can get one, Mike. And they'll stay with you next year.
No, I like not having a TV.
Well, I think the real risk probably, and we see it with people we know, there's individuals who have more addictive personalities.
Sure,
and they're
going
to be more vulnerable to developing an addiction. And if they have a trigger, so more anxiety in their life or depression, it can snowball into something full blown. Yeah. And to the extent that someone truly does not take care of themselves anymore. You hear about these with video games. They literally stop eating, they stop showering, they stop talking to people. That is a problem.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's interesting what will play out is what becomes socially acceptable culturally when everybody is on their smartphone at the dinner table, or everybody is sitting on a train not talking to each other on their smartphones.
I hate it.
I tend to wonder if we'll reach a threshold and then it will almost become cool again and retro to not spend as much time and actually meet face to face or write a handwritten note.
It will.
I think we'll reach that point where we'll find a balance with it.
I hope so, because I can't take any more 3-hour car rides with a TV on in the back seat. Oh,
although it can save you when your 2-year-old doesn't want to drive. Yeah. So Emily, you had an article to share on sunscreen, didn't you? Because if we're not going to be on the phone, shouldn't we be outside in the sun?
We should. That's right. So one of my favorite things to do to be outside in the sun, I mean, I'm updating my Twitter usually the whole time, but I'll be outside. So that's something, right?
As the phone's getting hot in your hand, you're like, ouch, ouch, ouch.
Yeah, I just can't set this down. I like to go to the beach, personally. I mean,
me too.
That's a classical American pastime, and I'm guilty of it. And I read this thing on Mercola.com because I was interested about, is the sun, I've heard all of this information about the sun damaging my skin. So I want to know what I can do to protect myself in a more natural way. So what I've read on Mercola.com is a way to avoid sunburn in the first place is to moisturize your skin naturally by applying organic coconut oil on your skin. So not only does that moisturize your skin and prevent dryness, but it also gives you other metabolic benefits.
Yes, I've actually researched this. We spoke a little bit about it quite a long time ago on a sunscreen show. If you're interested, you can look in the archives. But something about the coconut oil actually filters the sun and it allows you to not get as red.
I was excited because I rub coconut oil on my face every single day.
Well, and you smell like a pina colada.
And I do think to some extent you can use coconut oil as a mild sunscreen to help redness not happen and to help browning happen. Of course, any length of time in the sun, you may have to do more.
Yeah.
But you know what? I researched a little bit about using coconut oil on the face because I actually had an experience. It took me a while to figure it out, but I was using coconut oil exclusively as a moisturizer on my face, and I kept getting little breakouts on my cheeks, like a little redness, like a little rash on my cheeks, and I could not figure out what's happening. And I went on vacation and I didn't bring the coconut oil and it went away. And that's what made me realize it. So I have tested it on myself and that caused me to research online. And there's definitely people whose bodies can't really do well with the coconut oil on the face. It's the molecule is too large and it can clog and they'll get a rash. So that's good to know. On the body, most people, there's no problem. But if you find coconut oil in your face creates a little rash, just be aware of that. But yeah, I'm all for the sun. Get some vitamin D going.
I'll take it too.
I also read that eating vegetables on the same article, eating vegetables can actually help protect your skin from sun damage because of the antioxidants that are in the vegetables.
And I think that's cool. Awesome. That is really cool.
Any particular type? Just any vegetable?
Well, I can tell you the ones that it says in here, especially whole fresh vegetables and fruits, raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, because they're so high in antioxidants.
Right.
A cup of berries while you go out into the sun.
There you go.
Fantastic. There's so much to learn. And, you know, sometimes you read it and you're like, I don't know what I think about this. So tune into us. We'll tell you what we think.
That's right.
That's right.
Even if you didn't want to know.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you live in the Southern New Hampshire area, schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny at 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, call 673-5600 or check out www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.